Our lesson this morning comes from the 58th chapter of Isaiah, verses 9 through 14. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, you're pursuing your own interests on my holy day. If you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the word of God.
People of God, let us pray together. Gracious God, on this, the first day of the week in which we celebrate the resurrection, we ask that you would give to us new life, that you would give to us new ears, that you would give to us new hearts, that we might hear your word and respond. In your Son's name, amen. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Luke 13, beginning at verse 10. Now, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for over 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God looked around at all that had been made and said, "It is good." And then we are told in Genesis that God rested on the seventh day. When God took the people out of Egypt and led them across the Red Sea on dry land and through the desert to the mountain of God, one of the very first laws handed down to the people was that of honoring the Sabbath and keeping it holy. Sabbath was the day of rest, the day of no work, the long-established day of worship for the people of God as they settled into their homes in Israel. But it seems that, as with many areas of life, Sabbath has always been kept imperfectly and prone to misunderstanding and disobedience to God. Sabbath keeping was a major topic for the prophets of Israel, including Isaiah. Again and again, the prophets rail at the people for taking advantage of the Sabbath, or misusing it and performing acts of injustice on it, or for doing the things that they were told not to do. Jesus, however, was regularly in trouble for breaking the Sabbath. And so the question becomes then, if the Sabbath is so important, why is it that Jesus, of all people, is out breaking the rules? What is the proper role of Sabbath in faith? And what is that about for us today who worship not on the seventh day, but on the first day of the week? Does Sabbath have anything to do with us? I think we can start by looking at Jesus and his activities on the Sabbath day. Jewish Sabbath falls, as I said, on Saturday, the seventh day of the week. It was the resurrection on the first day that gradually established today as our holy day. The rules and laws surrounding the Sabbath were laid out by God, expanded on, laid out again, expanded on some more, interpreted by the Pharisees, the scribes, and those who read the law and taught the people over and over and over again throughout their history. Proper practice was established generation after generation, and, like many of our rules, tended to shift over the years. Was it, for example, acceptable to cook on the Sabbath? Or should meals be prepared the day before? Was it allowable to take your animals out to pasture, to get them food, to allow them to drink fresh water, or was it considered work to go out and untie your animals? These were just some of the rules, some of the regulations that the Pharisees and the scribes busied themselves with worrying about. Realistically, the Sabbath would have been kept very widely and very differently depending on the lifestyle and the ability to be free of work, depending on the family and the people. It would have been harder if you lived hand to mouth, day to day, to take a day off. It would have been harder if you were not wealthy and depended on day labor. By the time of Jesus, the leaders of the synagogue and the Pharisees who had interpreted the law had laid out exceptionally strict interpretations of what it meant to keep the Sabbath. Part of that was intended to keep the people apart from the influence of the hated Romans who occupied their territory and had taken over their government. So how do we keep ourselves pure and clean, religiously speaking, and not be too influenced by these outsiders? And so the rules of Sabbath became stricter and stricter. But I highly doubt that every single person was as perfect in keeping the law as we read in the scriptures and assume would have been done. This is not so different from our own time if you grew up in a particular form of Christianity. I grew up in the Reformed Church, which, by the way, is as close to Presbyterian as you can get, but we came through the Netherlands instead of through Scotland. That's the big difference. The Dutch took very seriously the rules and regulations of Sabbath. The stories that I heard in serving in a small town that was mostly Dutch were about the oppressiveness of Sabbath keeping. That in the 50s, 60s, and even into the 70s, not only would you not mow your lawn on Sunday because your neighbors would call and yell at you, but as a child, you could not use scissors, which were considered a tool of work, even in cutting out paper dolls. because Sabbath was to be kept. Mom would have had to prep all the food the night before so that nothing got cooked, just reheated on Sabbath. And so our own understanding of Sabbath has shifted and changed over time, right? Stores used to always be closed on Sunday. People used to always have the day off on Sunday. How true is that anymore? Jesus challenged the strict letter of the law because Jesus said Sabbath is a gift. Sabbath is a day of rest, not of rules, a day of joy and celebration, a day of worship and praise, not the heaviness of worrying about whether you are keeping things correctly or doing it exactly right. It's not a day to be feared. It is a day to be enjoyed. This is why I think we find Jesus consistently choosing very specific ways in which he broke the Sabbath. Jesus broke the Sabbath mostly to heal, to set free, and to unbind those who were bound by evil. Jesus didn't teach us to throw out the Sabbath and not celebrate it. Jesus taught that the purpose of Sabbath was for us, for our freedom, for our rest, as a gift from our God, not something to be strictly interpreted in terms of rules, but something to be reveled in and enjoyed as a gift of God. I think Jesus would have echoed the words of the prophet Isaiah, who said, "If you refrain from trampling on the Sabbath and pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight, a holy day of the Lord, honorable if you honor it, not going your own way and serving all your own interests and pursuing all your own affairs, but rather taking delight in the Lord." You see, Jesus' objection to the current state of faith is that rather than ignoring Sabbath, which is pretty much what our culture has chosen to do, right? We just kind of pretend like it isn't there. Rather than that, the people had been making so many rules and had become so rigid in their understanding of Sabbath, it had ceased to become a gift and had instead become a burden to the people of God. The woman in our story was a faithful person who had been bound, we are told, tormented for 18 years by a demon that made her hunched over, unable to straighten up. And so she faithfully walks herself to worship. She shows up in the synagogue that day not expecting or looking for healing. She didn't come because Jesus was there. She came because it was the Sabbath, and that's where she was supposed to be. She didn't expect anything to be any different when she went home that day, but she still came faithfully to worship. And yet, Jesus immediately sees her. Jesus chooses to call her forward, which, by the way, would have been breaking the rules. Women weren't supposed to be in front. Jesus chooses to break the law again by setting her free, and she immediately stands up straight and gives praise to God. Her words are lost to us, but we know that that is what she did. Jesus saw her and healed her. What I find fascinating about this story is the response of the leader of the synagogue. Did you hear who he chose to criticize? He didn't choose to criticize the great teacher who is up in front. Instead, he chose in this roundabout way to criticize Jesus by scolding the woman as if she had come specifically to be healed rather than to offer her praise and worship to God. As if it were wrong for her to hope that healing might be found in God's house. The gift of Sabbath for this woman literally then is freedom to worship, freedom and reason to give praise to God. The gift of Sabbath for her is the freedom to stand upright and sing her praises to her God. The gift of Sabbath is mercy and new life. And yet she is scolded in this roundabout way with Jesus for breaking the Sabbath. I wonder who was the most faithful to God's intended design of Sabbath in that moment. Who got it in terms of what Sabbath was supposed to be about? Keeping Sabbath is not something we think about very often, is it? No. The keeping of a holy day is often confined nowadays to what we're doing right now. And so then I'm preaching to the choir, aren't I? Sabbath keeping in our culture tends to be that morning time or evening on Sunday carved out for worship. And then when we leave, we go back about the ways in which we live our lives the rest of the week. It is just this brief moment in which we pause to worship. We have in this way strayed a long way from our ancestors' strict interpretations of what Sabbath keeping was all about. And so while we've been set free from the rigid rules of the past, in doing so, I think we've also lost what is vital about Sabbath, that it is intended to be a day of rest and a gift for the people. Because in reality, we have more free time today than we have had in most of human history. We have more space, and yet we are busier and busier than we have ever been. We have a lot of wasted time in our schedules. There's a difference in the end between leisure and rest. Leisure time is often spent in doing the things that we want to do without really intentionally thinking about whether or not it is restful for our souls. There's a difference between Sabbath and a day off of work. Sabbath is intended to be a gift that feeds our soul. So often our leisure time is spent in the kinds of things that suck time, in staring at screens, in paying very little attention to the state of our hearts and souls. To begin to understand what God intended for Sabbath, we need to look again at Jesus and catch a glimpse of what it is that it means to find Sabbath freedom in the crazy, busy world in which we live. We need to notice that Jesus was often at odds with the leaders in the synagogue, but he still went to worship. Jesus is always found going to worship. Jesus believed that corporate worship, gathering with the body of believers, was an important way in which we practice our faith. He chose to actively engage in worship in a group. But Jesus' devotion was not just about corporate worship and then that was it, is it? Constantly we hear stories of Jesus trying to get away from the crowd, trying to withdraw, trying to get to a place of quiet and prayer. Finally, when Jesus broke the rules of the Sabbath, it was because he was seeking to assist or to free someone else. Jesus believed that acts of mercy and justice were in keeping with what it means to be at rest and to feed the soul of someone. He actively broke the rules of the Sabbath, the day of rest, in order to extend freedom and mercy and the gift of joy to someone else. I think then that that means a few things for us. As we seek to be faithful in this world, the gathering with one another in worship and praise is vital. No, it does not have to be in a church building at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. I understand that. And no, I don't think that this is the only way that we worship. However, the isolation that so many people have, the refusal to connect with other believers, is something that does not feed our souls. We need one another. We need to be able to lean on and depend on one another. The gathering of the body of Christ for the purpose of worship has its place, even in our very individual culture. But just worshiping God on Sunday morning is not enough to feed and nourish our souls, is it? Nor, if you want to be particular about it, is it appropriate for Sabbath keeping. Just this is not the box that we get to check and say, oh yeah, I did that this week. If we follow the example of Jesus, then we seek opportunities to withdraw, to spend time in prayer, and to rest our souls. We look for places to live out our faith, to act in mercy, to act in justice, to act for one another and for those out in our world. If we are going to live Sabbath, we must learn to act the way Jesus acted, not just know the things that Jesus did. Finally, I think we do need to reclaim what it is to rest on the Sabbath. In our longer work weeks, our volunteering outside of work, our family responsibilities, and all of the things that draw our attention and energy and the amount of time that we waste, because we all do that too, we have lost the sense of just being in the presence of God. We come to God in prayer with a list of our needs and the needs of others, and we tick them off and we hand them over to God, and then we say, thank you for listening, and we go back out into the world, forgetting that sometimes God just invites us to sit, to be still, to be in the presence of God. Now, I'm not saying that the only way to keep Sabbath is to just simply not work and sit in your house and stare at a wall on Sunday. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that one of the things that we must learn to do is to slow down long enough to notice what feeds our soul. Because I will guarantee you that watching television, scrolling through Facebook, spending time endlessly flipping through whatever it is, the things that you waste time on, are not feeding your soul. They're not. They don't feed mine either. And yet we do it. We must recover what it is to be in the presence of God. We must think about the things that bring us real joy, real life. If mowing the lawn while you're out there pushing that mower gives you a sense of freedom and joy, then you should go out and mow. If weeding your garden gives you a sense of joy and control that you are making a difference, then you should do that. If sitting in a coffee shop and watching people go by and noticing, really noticing other human beings gives you joy, then that is something that you should do. What are the things that actually feed your soul? The things that actually give you life and joy and energy? Whatever you do, do it with joy and thank God as you go. If you want to sit and listen to beautiful music, then give God thanks for the gift of that music and the musician. Whatever those things are that feed you, that God has given you to revive your heart and soul, take the time and the space to do that. I think that is what Sabbath keeping is really about. Finding the space to be in the presence of God. This past week, as we laid Shirley to rest, I heard from all of her friends and family how much she loved cards. Now, there are groups that would say, well, cards aren't so good. Well, of course they are, because the point of cards was not the game itself ever, was it? It was about the people gathered around to play. How often do we take the time to serve? How often do we take the time to listen? How often do we take the time to just be in the presence of the God who loves us and gifts us and says, come, be still, rest with me? Sabbath was given to us as a gift from God for the people of God. Sabbath is a gift of freedom. Freedom from those expectations that we think that others have of us. Freedom from the need to perform or labor. Sabbath is a gift in which we are set free to love and laugh and serve and pray. It is a time intended for connection, of being in the presence of the one who loves us. And so how will you choose to keep Sabbath today? And if after this you are running out to work or to some other thing, how will you choose to keep Sabbath tomorrow? Because I think the other thing that we need to remember is that this is not the only day that God invites us to Sabbath. How will you choose to be in God's presence, to find the things that God uses to fill and feed your soul? Let's pray. Gracious God, you come to us. You invite us. You invite us to rest. You invite us to be in your presence. You invite us to find real connection with you and with one another. And so we offer to you this day. We offer to you our praise. We ask for your presence. And we ask for a sense of your peace. In your name we pray. Amen.